Well, all right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Thanks for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I also have the privilege of serving as one of the elders here. And on any given week, kind of my day-to-day responsibilities would involve our men's ministry, biblical soul care, and it's a privilege to be a part of this church family. And we're so glad that you're here today. We're going to be continuing our sermon series today called Jesus Said. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're covering three verses, verse 16, 17, and 18. Such a great, great passage. If you're just joining us, maybe today you're just visiting us for the first time, and Jason, kind of what's going on here? Well, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and last Sunday, Pastor Robert led us through Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And if you were here, we covered some big topics, didn't we? We covered giving, we covered prayer. Of course, we covered the Lord's Prayer, and that was great. Such a timely message, very relevant passage for all of us. If you missed it, we learned that we are to practice righteousness with pure motives. We are to pursue eternal reward, not earthly recognition. And we are to pray intentionally and dependently. And so today, as we now look at verse 16 and following, today is really a continuation of that. And so let me set things up this way. I imagine most of you probably wouldn't know this, but my background before ministry, some of you might know this, but before ministry, I was in the medical field. I was in healthcare. I was an occupational therapist for about 10 years, believe it or not. Wore scrubs every day. Worked in the medical field, worked in hospitals, many different clinics. I think my favorite was probably working in the field of sports medicine. And some of you have had the unfortunate accident, something like that, maybe a surgery where you visited a physical therapist or an occupational therapist. That's what I did for basically a decade before ministry. And as a therapist, I would address the physical limitations to my patients, activities of daily living, and we focused on physical strength and conditioning and promoted healthy living, healthy lifestyle as a part of the rehabilitation process. Well, isn't this true? In the Christian life, there are ways where we can intentionally develop our spiritual strength. There are ways that we can do that. I imagine most of us are familiar with the physical benefits of walking, running, swimming, playing soccer, lifting weights, that sort of thing. But think about it. What are the barbells and the push-ups that build spiritual muscles? What exercises can be used to train the soul? Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, discipline yourself, Christian, for the sake of godliness. And so spiritual disciplines then are those practices found in Scripture that promote growth and spiritual strength amongst believers. And so you're like, okay, so what are these barbells and push-ups that develop our spiritual muscles? Well, in the Christian life, there's a lot of them. They're called spiritual disciplines. They could be reading God's Word, studying God's Word, meditating on God's Word. Pretty much anything with God's Word, you're kind of heading in the right direction. Prayer, worship, private worship, corporate worship, giving thanks, giving generously, serving. Well, today we're looking at one of those spiritual disciplines, and you're going to notice here in verse 16 through 18, it's fasting. Fasting is a fantastic way to develop our spiritual strength. Now, notice there, I'm going to read the passage, verse 16 through 18. Look there. It says this, whenever you fast, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And so I tell you this, before we get to work, why don't we pray together? Can we do that? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, God, thank you for this morning. We are so grateful for the opportunity to gather and to worship. What a privilege, what a treasure, what a blessing. God, we're so grateful that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. Thank you for creating us and caring about our need for salvation and our forgiveness of sins. We're so grateful for that. Lord Jesus, you're our Savior. You're our God. We honor you. We celebrate you. We worship you. I thank you for coming, Jesus, to resist sin, to die for sin, to rise for sin, so that we may receive life and joy in you through faith. Holy Spirit, we do thank you as well as our great God for coming into this world to convict us of our sin. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing to us our Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, we want to know you as well as you've been revealed in Scripture. And we ask for your help now, Holy Spirit. Help us to rightly perceive truth, to understand this truth that you would teach us now, we pray. And to God, we desire that you would be honored and glorified. And so be high and lifted up, we pray, in each heart here. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I got a big idea for you. The big idea is this. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, all right? And of course, that is straight from 1 Timothy, the passage I already read for you. Discipline yourself, Christian, for the purpose of godliness. How do we do that? Well, my first point is this. Practice fasting with pure motives. That's point number one, right out of verse 16. Practice fasting with pure motives. Okay, so now notice there, verse 16, it says this, whenever, you guys see that? Whenever you fast. Let's be honest here, I think this is true. Fasting, I think, is the most feared of all spiritual disciplines. Can we all agree with that? It's a feared spiritual discipline, that's what it is. Some Christians are like, what? Fasting? No. That's not for me. Fasting? No. I'm not interested in fasting. I'd rather walk barefoot across a fire pit than to fast. I'd rather hold a poisonous snake than to fast. No. That's not for me. We live in America, the home of the gas station Big Gulp, right? The king-sized Slurpee, the all-you-can-eat buffet. We love that. Right? That we love that. Certainly before COVID, we loved it. Jason, I'm more of a full stomach kind of guy. I'm not the empty stomach kind of guy. And you know what else? Fasting isn't something preached on very often either. Truth is, in most Christian circles, depending on your church background, you've probably never heard a sermon on fasting. But the truth is, fasting, it comes up all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. In fact, it comes up even more often than something as important as baptism. Can you believe that? It's true. Baptism comes up in Scripture 75 times. Fasting, 77 times. It's a very common spiritual discipline found throughout Scripture. And so notice there, once again, whenever you fast. Jesus begins, you guys notice, I imagine, whenever, not if. Does your Bible say if? Mine doesn't. Whenever, it says. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's what Jesus is saying. It's like the other spiritual disciplines. Fasting should be a part of our regular lives, just like prayer, studying God's word, reading God's word, meditating on God's word, giving, serving, worship. Now, let me just take a quick sidestep here. I think you're all with me here. Maybe you're wondering, okay, Jason, I think I'm with you here. What about intermittent fasting? I hear that's great for kind of slimming the waistline. Is that kind of what Jesus is talking about? Is he talking about intermittent fasting? Anybody? No, he's not talking about intermittent fasting. Well, what about the juice fast? I hear that's kind of popular right now. Is he talking about a juice fast? Juice cleanse, bone broth fast, warrior diet fast, keto fast. No, he's not talking about any of that. We're not talking about cutting weight for a wrestling match or trying to squeeze our way back into our bathing suit for summer. It's not about any of that. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor? Neighbor! He's not talking about that. All right? That's not what's going on here at all. And so what exactly is a biblical fast? Well, first of all, it's all over the place. And so you should know that if you biblically fast, you're in good company. Moses, Samson, Samuel, Hannah, Saul, Jonathan, David, they all fasted. So did Elijah, Jehoshaphat, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel, John the Baptist, Anna, Jesus Christ, they all fasted. And so what is it? Fasting is a willing abstinence from food to, let's say, heighten spiritual desire. That's what it is. It was also done as a way of setting time aside to be with the Lord, to seek the Lord, to focus on God and your walk with Him. That's what it is. There's no magic in fasting. Giving up food won't instantly make you more godly. That's not how it works. It's not a transaction between you and God. I went without a meal. It's time for you to show up. It's not like that at all. You don't fast in order to gain God's favor. That's not the purpose of it. Fasting, then, the purpose is to help you bring your life into greater surrender to God and a greater appreciation for His favor. Now notice again verse 16. This is so good. It says that whenever, not if, whenever you fast, do not, so verse 16 is the do not part, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. I love how the Complete Jewish Bible translates this. I think it's really insightful. They say, when you fast, do not go around looking miserable. All right, don't be that guy walking around all miserable. It says, like the hypocrites, they make sour faces when they're fasting. And so think about it. What does it look like to walk around miserable and with a sour face? What does it look like? That's how they'd walk around. It's the hypocrites. It's the same way they would give. It's the same way that they would pray. They would do so to get attention from people. That's the context. So don't walk around miserable, sour face. Oh, life's hard right now. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. That's essentially what they're doing. In chapter 6 of Matthew, in addition to giving and prayer, fasting is the third area for which Jesus gives a corrective word to the hypocritical religious practices of the scribes and Pharisees. In each situation, the perversion of God's standard was caused by the overriding desire to be seen and to be praised by men. And so here's how it would look in our day, all right? So imagine the guy in verse 16, he's been fasting during the week, comes to church on Sunday, probably not to worship, probably not to serve, but mostly just to be seen. So he comes to church, how does he look? Miserable, sour face. Oh, I want you to notice me right now. Oh, that's the face they're making, sour face. And you ask them, hey, bro, how's it going, man? Oh, life's hard right now. Oh, that's how it's going. Wow, you look like you're not doing too good. What's the problem? You have too many beans maybe last night for dinner? I don't know, milk and magnesia. You should try it out. I don't know. What should you do? Well, it's not that kind of fasting. It's not that kind of pain, rather. I've been fasting. And what Jesus is saying is when you do that, you get your reward. Your reward is so that other people notice you. That's not the way to do it at all. Truly, I say to you, Jesus says, they have their reward in full. And so now as a point of clarity, I think sometimes when this subject comes up, there's a part of us that kind of wonders, is like food bad then? Is food bad or sinful? Is food bad? Is food bad? No, food's not bad. Food is a gift from God. Food is a wonderful thing. God has given us an amazing, think about it, the variety of food that we have to enjoy. It's remarkable. God wants us to enjoy food. You with me? Food is good. Food is good. Amen? Food is wonderful. Food is good for our enjoyment. Food is good for our fellowship. Food nourishes our body. Food is a gift from God. I imagine some of you guys maybe have more questions about fasting. Here's some common ones that we hear from time to time. People wonder, honestly, why? Why would anybody want, think about it, why would anybody really want to fast anyway? Like, why would we want to do that? And I hope this is helpful. Spent a lot of time researching fasting, probably like I never have before. This week, the pastors got together, Pastor Scott, Pastor Robert, Pastor Mir, myself, put our heads together, talked about this a good amount of time. And in the Bible, what you're going to find out is that there are many, many, you'd be surprised, many different reasons for fasting in Scripture. And in fact, I put together a little list for you here. 5 biblical reasons to fast. Maybe we could put that up. The first one is to seek God's wisdom. And we see an example of that in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And so maybe you're in a season of life where you have some decisions to make. Jason, what should I do? Well, have you thought about fasting and praying to seek God's wisdom and clarity in a matter? In Acts 14, it says that the Apostle Paul, as well as Barnabas, prayed and fasted when they were getting ready to install new elders, and they wanted God's leading, they wanted God's clarity, they wanted God's wisdom, because elders in the church is a really, really big deal, so they fasted about it. Another good reason to fast is to show grief. Very common. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, Nehemiah mourned and fasted and prayed when he learned that the Jerusalem walls had been broken down, leaving the Israelites vulnerable and disgraced. And so maybe you've just gotten some news and your heart is broken and you're sad. And really the biblical response to that should be to seek the Lord. Maybe that involves fasting. That's what Nehemiah does. Another biblical reason to fast, number 3, is to seek protection. This happens quite often, actually. Ezra chapter 8, we see this. Ezra declared a corporate fast and prayed for a safe journey for the Israelites as they made the 900-mile trek to Jerusalem from Babylon. They sought the Lord. They needed the Lord's protection, and they got it, all right? Another biblical reason to fast, number 4, is to repent from sin. You know, as I say, seek protection, I also think about Esther. Do you guys remember Esther? What a unique time she lived in. You guys remember Haman, wicked Haman? He was seeking to annihilate the Jewish people. You guys remember that? And Mordecai, he caught wind of it, and so he talks to Esther, and what does Esther do? Seek protection. We got to seek the Lord. We got to pray about this. And isn't it interesting? Throughout history, wicked people, wicked men, wicked nations have been coming against the people of Israel. We see that in Esther as well. What's our response even to current matters in Israel? I think prayer, fasting would certainly be appropriate. Another one is, of course, to repent from sin. After Jonah pronounced judgment against the city of Nineveh, the king covered himself with sackcloth and sat in dust. And when they ordered the people to fast and pray, it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction that he had threatened. Last one there is to worship God. We see that in Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 37. There's this amazing 84-year-old woman in the temple every single day, Scripture says. Luke chapter 2, verse 37, it says that she never left, worshiped God day and night, fasting, praying. Anna was devoted to God, and fasting was one of the expressions of her love for the Lord, all right? This is a part of our lives. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Here's another common question that people have. Okay, so a lot of reasons to fast. Okay, I kind of get that now, but like, is it required of us? Like, is it something that we have to do? Does God require us to fast? Well, this might surprise you. There is one fast that is required in Scripture, and it's connected with the Day of Atonement in the book of Leviticus. It's very interesting. In the Old Testament, Day of Atonement, the people were to humble their souls. That's what it says in Leviticus 16 as well as in Leviticus 23. That's a Hebrew expression that included seeking food as an act of self-denial. And so there was a national fast one time a year that was connected with the Day of Atonement that was a requirement for everybody, men, women, and children, kids too. One time a year, everybody fast. As far as the New Testament goes, fasting is never required, okay? Never. It's not required in the New Testament. It's true. The Bible doesn't command Christians to fast. The Bible does command Christians to give. The Bible does command Christians to pray, but the Bible does not command Christians to fast. Fasting, then, for us is a personal thing between us and God. It's not required, it's voluntary, though Jesus doesn't command it. He does seem to assume that we would do it anyways. Now, before we move on to verse 17, 18, I want to point out an important principle, and it's right here in verse 16. And what I'm about to say here applies more than just to fasting. It applies in the ways that we sacrifice for the Lord. It applies to the way that we serve in our lives or here at the church even. And here's the question. The question is, how quick are you? Let's apply it now. How quick are you to let others know how much you are serving? It could be praying, it could be fasting, it could be giving, but I'm thinking specifically of serving. How quick are you to let others know how much you're serving? How quickly are you to communicate how much you've sacrificed? How quick are you to rattle off your hot list of all the ways that you've helped Jesus out or the church out this week? Have you ever said, oh man, you got to pray for me. I was up real late last night praying. I was just up so late. Mostly because I'm awesome, but also because I'm praying for people and heathens and all those lost people. Just pray for me because I'm really tired. Or maybe you had the bad fortune of having to get up really early to get ready for small group. And so I had to get up really early to prepare for small group tonight, mostly because I'm awesome, but also because, man, I just love the people in my small group. And here's the thing, listen, our sacrifice and our service and even the exercise of our spiritual disciplines are always a matter of the heart, are they not? Fasting is the same as giving and prayer in this way. It's an inside thing. It's a heart thing, and God is concerned about your action and the heart that is making it happen. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. You see, when the heart is not right, fasting is just going hungry. When your heart is not right, your service is just occupying your time. Now, here's the thing. Everything that we're talking about this morning, there's other religions that fast, right? Everything that we're talking about this morning, for it to be a God-honoring spiritual discipline, rather that develops our spiritual muscles, if you will, it requires us to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And fasting is a blessing. It's not a burden. And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what that means is that you've trusted in him for your salvation. You understand that you were going your own way. I was lost, but I needed help. And God stepped in, he made a way, and I couldn't have figured it out on my own. Jesus died for my sins, he conquered death for my salvation. Praise the Lord, repented of my sin, I'm now in a relationship with him. To get the new heart that we're talking about, it means that we must be born again. It means that we are clinging to the Lord and to his gospel. Otherwise, it's just a cold, barren, religious practice, okay? Amen? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual, rich activity between us and God. Now let's move on. Notice there verse 17. Here's my second point. Pursue fasting in private. All right? Jason, where do you come up with this stuff? Well, you probably could have came up with it yourself. It's right here in the passage. Notice there. Once again, but you when you fast. It's interesting. Jesus assumes his disciples will fast. He says, anoint your head and wash your face. Again, I think it's great how the complete Jewish Bible translates this. They say, but when you fast, wash your face and groom yourself. Wash your face, groom yourself, so that no one will know you're fasting except your Father who is with you in secret or private. Your Father who sees what's done in secret or private will reward you. And so this is how it might look in our day. And so the man, woman of verse 17, 18, they've been fasting during the week. They show up to church on Sunday, not to be seen, but maybe they're here to worship. Maybe they're here to serve. And so instead of the sour face, instead of miserable face, how do they look? Well, the man or woman, verse 17, 18, they had a shower. They put on some deodorant, some aftershave or perfume. They got a big smile, right? They're looking good, smelling good. And when somebody says, wow, you look like everything's going great. Do you know what they say? Everything is going great. And that's the end of it. And for that individual, they will get the reward because the fasting was done in secret. Now, maybe as we've been talking about this, and honestly, you're still wondering why. So I got some information about fasting, I suppose, but I still don't really get the why. Why? What's the why question? How do you answer, Jason, the why question? Why would anyone ever fast? And here it is. I think this will change the way you look at fasting, so listen up. Here's the answer to the why question. Primarily, fasting is about focus. And here's what I mean by that. We live busy lives, so many plans, so much on our schedule, constant distractions all the time. In the last 15 years or so, for those of you who are old enough to appreciate this, in the last 15 years or so, we all now have smartphones, which basically means even the smallest moment of our day, the tiny little margin now can be filled up with scrolling. Isn't it true? It's true. It's how it works. We feel compelled to keep checking and checking and checking Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or whatever the kids use nowadays, right? There's something for every moment of life. We have the news app so that we can get a minute-by-minute update with what's going on in the news. Or maybe if you're like me, it's the weather. I bet I check the weather. My goodness, I don't even know what's wrong. I think I check the weather probably 10 times a day. I'm not exaggerating. It's true. It's time to confess my sin and shame the devil. That's my pitfall. It's checking the weather. I waste a lot of time doing that. I don't know why. I was raised on a farm. Maybe it's the farm boy in me. I don't know. And so during the day, I'm like, oh, what's happening back home? I grew up in Minnesota. Oh, it's still cold there. All right. Thankfully, I don't live there anymore. How about here in Florida? Oh, it's going to rain at 4 o'clock today. But I'm checking it 10 times throughout the day. So the next time I check it, it's like, oh, there's an update. Hey, Gretel, it's not raining at 4 o'clock today. It's raining at maybe 4:30 or 5 now. That is so interesting. And along with the obsession with our smartphones, you and me, we are in possession of wandering hearts, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the very God that we love. Temptations seduce us, temptations seize us, and our desires wander off of God's pathway. Here's the thing about fasting. Fasting can be a divine interruption that is one of the tools that God calls us back to himself. To confess our sins, to remember him, to be still, to commit ourselves anew to him, to celebrate. Like, couldn't you use a divine interruption like this more often in your life? Fasting is one of the ways that God reaches down from heaven into our frantic lives and pulls us out to be closer with him. That's the purpose. Fasting is much more of a welcome than it is a regulation. Fasting is not supposed to be a burden. It is a blessing. And so the answer to the why question is, fasting is a gift from the God who knows us. He knows how we operate. He knows what we face. He knows what we need. Fasting is God's invitation to all of his children to refocus, to refrain, to recharge, to re-engage, and to repent. And as we exercise the spiritual discipline, it greatly develops our spiritual strength as well. Now, here's another thing that people often wonder about fasting. They ask, how long? Okay, so I kind of get it. It's important. But how long do we have to go for? Right? And so when you read through the Bible, the truth is you see many different lengths of fasts. You see like one-day fasts. You see three-day fasts. Uh-oh. We see seven-day fasts. Uh-oh. We see 40-day fasts. The truth is the time of the fast depends on the person, depends on you, depends on the circumstance, it depends on the situation, it depends on the need. This said, obviously, extended fasts can be, of course, harmful to the body. Some people may not be able to fast from food at all, depending on medical backgrounds or history. For example, if you have type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Now, as I say that, isn't this true? There's a part of us that's kind of like, all right, so he said, I don't have diabetes, but I wonder if there might be something else that could kind of maybe get me out of it a little bit. I wonder maybe an excuse, I don't know. And I think it's part of our sin nature to do that, truth be told. Sacrifice, denying self, fasting, I'll bet I can find an excuse. You know, Pastor, my wife says I get grumpy when I'm hungry, and so I guess it's probably not a good idea for me to fast. Pastor, my husband says I get cranky when I'm hungry. I guess it's probably not a good idea for me to fast. And, you know, here's the thing at the Grove. Here's what we're going for. Help us, Lord. Amen? It's like, help us, Lord. We want to be men and women in a church that take our walk with Christ seriously. Amen? We don't want to be excuse makers. We want to be people that take action. Amen? Would we be action takers, not excuse makers? And so when it comes to fasting and the many, many, many other spiritual disciplines, these are the structured workouts which train the soul. Would we all be committed to growing in grace and in Christ's likeness? Help us, Lord. Would we be a people who take action and not make excuses? And maybe there's still a part of you that's thinking, okay, so not excuses, but what if I had a doctor's note? What if I got a doctor's note what if I gave it to Jesus? I guess I maybe get out of it. Got a doctor's note. Yeah, Jesus, I got a doctor's note. Okay, well, how would that go? Can you imagine? I don't have the diabetes, but Jesus, the doctor says I have what the doctor calls tennis elbow. And so I guess that means I probably, what would the Lord say to that? Take a week off of tennis. Fast and pray with the extra time that you have. You're going to be just fine. Okay, Jesus, I got one more. I don't have the diabetes, but I do have the hammer toe. And it's the same thing with hammer toe. Sorry, you can still fast with that. That's the good news. Making excuses, it doesn't work. And so moving on, I just say that to illustrate the fact that fasting, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Fasting is supposed to be a blessing, not a burden. Would all of us see fasting as an opportunity to strengthen our spiritual muscles, as a discipline to grow in grace? And though most of us do not have an excuse, some of us do. My son has type 1 diabetes, and I'm not making light of it at all. It's a burden. And the truth is, as he gets older, it wouldn't be a good idea for him to fast. Maybe you're pregnant or you're a nursing mother. Perhaps you have a complicated medical history that depends on a regular diet. If that's the case, you definitely should talk with your doctor before any of this. The rest of us, let's go get it. And if you are in the situation where you have more of a complicated medical history, consider giving up that something very relevant in your life for a season so that you can focus exclusively on the Lord for a season of prayer. Let's make this really practical here. What I share now, I hope that we as a church family can be quick to apply. You know, it's our prayer here. It's Pastor Scott's. He's prayed about this many times. The pastoral leadership, the elders. It's our prayer that as a church family, that we could be a spiritual force that that can be powerful and vibrant and useful to the Lord here in the Hamlin community and throughout our greater area and along the I-4 corridor. That's our desire. That's our prayer. In fact, Pastor Scott was just sharing on Thursday night, a couple nights ago, with our men at our men's gathering right here at the church, the same very thing. It's a challenge. We were talking about it earlier this morning, calling Christians to pray, to seek the Lord. What a great opportunity that we have as a people now. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Generally speaking, we are so, and I'm just kind of myself in all of this, we are so quick to post on social media the problems of our country or how the leadership is letting us down in some way. But if you want to see God move, are you willing to fast and pray for your country? That's the question. You know, we're so quick to read a book or to listen to a seminar or to listen to a podcast or a sermon on how to fix my marriage or how to fix my kids. But are you willing to fast and pray until the Lord moves in your family? You know, we're so quick to tell people about, hey, you got to pray for this for me. Hey, pray for this for me. Hey, pray for this for me. But are we willing ourselves to fast and pray until we see the Lord move in our circumstances? We're quick to talk about the difficulties of being a Christian in this broken world, but if you want to see God move, are you willing to fasten your way to victory? That's the question. You know, there's one more thing I want to mention here, and it's at the very tail end of verse 18. Would you look there? Second half of verse 18, Jesus says, "By your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You know, we're taught at a young age that secrets, they're kind of a little bit questionable, right? Got to be careful with secrets. But two times in this verse here, what does Jesus say? He says, what you have done in secret, speaking of fasting, says the same thing of giving and prayer, by the way, in the verses previous, that you'll be rewarded. It's hard to say what the reward is. Maybe it's something as simple as the Father seeing our heart and our devotion for Him. And wouldn't that be enough? Regardless, I find it pretty cool that between us and God, that we can have something special like that with Him. You know, here's the thing about all of this, just looking around the room right now, so many, God bless you guys, so many faithful men and women showing up every week, dozens of you to serve hard, to sacrifice much, giving a lot of your time, some of you generously of your treasure, your talents, caring here at the church, serving our children, teaching our children, serving in hospitality or first impressions, or making it possible for what is taking place right now to happen. God bless you guys for that. And here's the thing that you never need to wonder. You never, ever need to wonder. Well, I don't know if anybody really appreciates me over there. I don't know if anybody really sees all that I do. I don't know if they comprehend the effort that I'm putting forth in here. You never need to wonder that. First of all, for the most part, we do see, but more importantly, God sees. Even the secret things that are done in private, God sees. God knows. You don't have to wonder about that. During the last few months, we've seen more and more people join us for worship on the weekends. We've seen more and more men and women choosing to become of the church family through membership, and that has been fantastic and awesome. The children's ministry is growing so fast, and just a need that we have for you to be praying about is our K through third grade class is like booming, and the truth is we do need more teachers there. It's our largest group of children at the church. And so we're counting on you, church family, to step up and to lean in. We need strong men and women to care, to love, to serve, to lead, and to help us bring up this next generation. And once again, it's always about the heart. The Lord sees our sacrifice. The Lord knows our service. But it always needs to come from a heart that is right with Him. And so it doesn't matter if it's fasting, giving, praying, or serving in the Grove Kids. If the heart isn't right, nothing is right. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? Today we've been talking about fasting. Hopefully you've taken this to heart, maybe encouraged. Maybe you're even like, you know what? I'm willing to give this a shot. Or maybe you're like, I'm willing to give this a shot again. And I think we got a slide for you here. I got 5 tips for you. I'm just going to go through this really quickly. If you're looking at having your first fast or maybe to fast again, let me just submit a few things for you. First of all, check your heart before you do. Number one, check your heart. Fasting is always a matter of the heart. God is concerned about the action as well as the heart that motivates it. Number two, plan your fast. All right, so think about it. There always needs to be a reason for it. So what's your reason? How long is it going to be? Think about that in advance. Plan it. How does life need to be maybe rearranged a little bit for you? Number three, tell only the people that you must. Best of all, if you can, keep it a secret between you and Jesus. But if you're married, I think it's okay to share it with your spouse. Beyond that, I wouldn't probably share it with anybody. Unless, of course, you want to maybe share it with one of the pastors or one of the elders at the church so that we can pray for you. Just be careful when it comes to fasting. Pride gets in the way. So keep your circle small. Number four, avoid media. Fasting is a great opportunity to disconnect. TV, internet, Netflix, Disney Plus, whatever it is for you. Avoid media, disconnect so that you can have your laser focus on God. And then number five, be still. Be still. That's the purpose of it. Be still. Don't fill up your time with something else. Be still in the Lord. Fasting is a great time to pray, to read God's word, to meditate on God's word. Let me close with this final words. Today, Jesus is looking for men and women and a church that are bold. He's looking for people who are uncompromising, that are faithful, that are selfless, who are humble, who are loyal, who are persistent and fervent, and who are a spiritual force to be reckoned with. Jesus wants our church and our homes to be strong spiritually. To get strong spiritually, the Apostle Paul says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It's up to us. What are we going to do? It's time that we get after the means that the Lord has given us to strengthen our spiritual muscles. It's time that we train our soul, reading God's word, savoring, studying, meditating, prayer, corporate worship, private worship, giving thanks, giving generously, serving, and of course, fasting. These are the ways that we can develop our spiritual health. I'd love for you to stand for me. We're going to close in worship here in a second. Let me pray for us. So thankful for you guys. Father in heaven, what a great day. What a great reminder. What a great encouragement. Thank you, Jesus, for your instruction and your word regarding fasting. We understand now that it's a blessing. And we thank you for this gift of grace that for a season we can say no to food so that we can focus on you. And we need that. Life is so busy. And so, Father, we thank you for this day. We pray for boldness that we might even apply this discipline in the days, weeks, and months ahead for your glory. God, we love you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.